we're both in that same dock, so I can see your little, you can see my little thingy. See my little thingy moving around?
I do, and I see it on the screen, too.
Yeah.
Wah, wow. What's up? This is Movies On Up. Divided, we fall. United, we sit. I sit right across from my normal co-host, Mr. Dave Bisella.
The Iron Man to your Captain America.
Sure, yeah. That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Divided, we fall is our tagline contest for this episode. If you think you know what movie that comes from, you can send your guests off to us in one of the three following ways. You can email it to us. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can get at us via the Twitter @moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct, and if we choose you and you don't live in Canada, we will send you a prize package.
Even if you do live in Canada, it just, you know, the post takes a couple months to get anywhere.
Well, yeah, there's a boat that has to go.
Has to cross the ocean just to get to,
right, wherever that's from.
British
Nova Scotia.
Vancouver. Oh,
British Vancouver,
British
Columbia, right?
Columbia, and it is BC.
That's the state or something?
I don't know. They're
Providence?
Weird.
I don't know. But Trudeau, that's not land. It's not in America. So
the boat should arrive.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon.
The Movies On Up tugboat, which goes from the Mahoning River in Youngstown
down to the Atlantic, up and around through Alaska.
The Suez Canal, yeah. And yeah, that's
the center of Canada.
That's how we get there. There's probably a dog sled team involved. But if you live closer and you think you know what movie Divided We Fall comes from, we'd love to hear about it. And if you are correct, and if we choose you, we will send you a prize package, a mighty prize package. You will marvel at all the wonders within it. Little hint, perhaps we may talk about that movie this week, which is one of our, I don't know, I feel like we have like four big episodes a year. And I'm just going off the top of my head. I don't know which ones they are. But this is certainly one of them. We have a summer preview we do, which is this week. We've got a fall preview.
The Uppies and our favorite of the year, and then the halftime show.
I don't like the halftime show.
I love the halftime show. Halftime show is my favorite show because it's like the end of the year favorite movies of the year. But
in the middle of the year.
In the middle of the year, yeah.
Right. Inevitably, they all get displaced for the end of the year.
But it gives us a chance to talk about more movies.
That's true. And we are going to talk about a ton of movies on this show. We're going to take you from May through August. A lot of stuff comes out. A lot of stuff you're probably already pretty aware of. I don't think we're going to break any news with what comes out, with our first movie, at least. It is a movie that we've sort of already referenced at least once in the podcast. It is Captain America, The Civil War, directed by the Russo brothers. That is in theaters May 6th, starring the aforementioned Captain America, Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, and just about everybody else that has ever been in a Marvel movie before. Heroes Going Brawl, Tom Holland, Chadwick Boseman make their marvelous debuts as Spider-Man and the Black Panther, respectively.
I feel like we've talked about this one a lot, either last week or next week in our Winter Soldier episode.
Next week.
So we'll talk about it a lot more then, probably, I assume. I mean, I'm excited for this. Marvel moved summer. Summer used to be late May. Memorial Day weekend, that used to be like the kickoff of the summer season, maybe a week before it. But Marvel's just like, screw it. I think Winter Soldier was like last week of April. So like,
yeah, I was going to say they've done April before.
And there were a couple years.
I think Iron Man, maybe 3, was in April sometime.
Yeah, I honestly think Captain America was like the last of April, like the 29th or so. So there was a year or two there where Marvel would do the 1st of May and then you'd have a couple weeks and then everybody else would start later. And they realize like, oh, Marvel's going to dominate for a couple weeks anyway. But now everybody's starting to trickle in and just kind of, people are avoiding the summer, even though it's added a month. You have Batman Superman originally slated for this same day when they first announced it. They moved to March.
Turned out, I mean, it worked out well for Batman and Superman. I mean, they made some pretty decent money.
It was the best decision they made regarding that movie, probably. You pretty much have one attempted blockbuster each March now. April's getting pretty solid. Like it's expanding. Like they're spreading them out a lot more, it seems.
That's pretty much the only wide release out this week, and you pretty much ran down. Yeah, like who else is going to release opposite that? Nobody, if you've got any brains. May 13th, we do have a couple wide releases. The Darkness, directed by Greg McLean, starring Kevin Bacon, Radha Mitchell, Jennifer Morrison, and David Mazouz. Little Bruce Wayne, that is David Mazouz, is taken over by Indian demons or something like that after a trip to the Grand Canyon. Echoes of a previous Bacon-Morrison jam, Stir of Echoes, from the director of Wolf Creek 1 and 2 and the upcoming Wolf Creek 3. You liked at least the first one, didn't you?
I liked the first one. The second one...
Too much wolf and not enough creek.
Too much same. I wasn't as nuts about the second one. It's not bad. He's an interesting director. This one doesn't look interesting, though. Like, there's a couple horror movies coming later in the summer that I think I'm far more interested in this one. Like, there's probably, if I'm thinking correctly, at least four horror movies this summer. This is kind of kicks them off, and it's probably the one I'm least excited about, except for the Insidious one.
There's four movies, horror movies this summer, and when we get to October, there'll probably be one. And
if
we'll
that,
be scratching our
that'll
heads
be more
going,
than the last
what
couple of
the
years.
Hell. Yeah. Also out that week, not a horror movie despite its name, Money Monster, directed by Jodie Foster, starring the Clune and Julia Roberts. Some dude hijacks the Clune Prince's money show, leading to a live hostage situation in Foster's first feature since 2011's The Beave. Beaver.
I like
what
the
you
Beaver.
Liked.
Yeah. I like the Beaver a lot. I really liked the Beaver.
Dave loves the Beaver.
I do. I absolutely love Jodie Foster's
He's got 12
Beaver.
Kids, so of course.
I mean, it wasn't a directing feat. That was one that was more of a Mel Gibson performance, as much as he's an asshole. Like, it was great to see him. The rest of the cast was pretty awesome, too. I mean, you have Clooney and Julia Roberts, which should excite me. It just looks, eh.
It doesn't get you excited in... And we said that summer comes earlier this year, I guess, or for the past several years. And one of the things that you do think about with these summer blockbusters, or even if they're not blockbusters, just summer releases, is a certain level of excitement. Certainly, like Civil War, we're very excited about, and some other ones down the list. Actually, a movie that's coming out the following week, we are going to be super excited about. But at least you should feel some kind of like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be like an event. Like, I am certainly going to go to the theaters that weekend.
I mean, Clooney and Julia Roberts.
It should feel like that.
It reminds me of, maybe it's a trend with Julia Roberts, the Tom Hanks one from a couple years ago. That was a summer one. The one where he was like a teacher or something. I'm pretty sure Julia Roberts was in that. I don't even remember the name of it. That was a summer movie that just kind of came and went. It's not enough in summer anymore just to throw out big names. In a different climate, you could throw out big
stars.
Those are
more award season names than summer blockbuster names.
I mean, Clooney, yeah, at this point, yeah, because I don't know that Clooney or Roberts, I don't know that they've had a giant box office hit in a while. They're well known.
Gravity. I mean, that was a giant box
and
office
that's
movie.
That's not really a Clooney movie.
No.
And that
it
was
isn't.
An award season movie.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, like, Tomorrowland, which was the exact opposite of that, was supposed to be a giant blockbuster.
Was starring, the opposite of that.
Right, exactly.
Larry Crown? I think that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe. The week after that, May 20th, speaking of guys that just scream box office, how about Josh Gad, Bill Hader, Danny McBride, and Jason Sudeikis not actually appearing on screen, just their voices, in the Angry Birds movie directed by Clay Cadis and Fergal Riley. It is exactly what it says it is. It is the Angry Birds movies. It's a video game movie. That should tell you all you need to know right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I will see it.
Will like, you have to or you kind of want to?
I mean, I used to play Angry Birds a lot. And the kids used to love watching me play. I haven't played it in a couple years. I like Suds. I like McBride. I like the cast. The trailer ends with a pretty good joke. It's a pretty solid joke. I'll see it. They'll like it. I don't have as high hopes as for that as I do some of the other kids' movies coming out. But I'll see it.
The rest of the weekend, not exactly full of kids' programming. But a couple movies that at least, if you're not excited about both of them, I certainly am. I'm going to have a tough time trying to pick between Neighbors 2 and Nice Guys. Neighbors 2 is Nicholas Stoller's sequel to Neighbors, starring Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne, Zac Efron and his abs, Chloe Grace Moretz and Selena Gomez. Pretty much everyone from the first one returns for the sequel as the Radnors team up with Teddy to get rid of a bunch of nubile, drunken co-eds, which doesn't really sound like much of a problem. I'm having trouble kind of getting into that one.
The trailer is fantastic. It's more of the same, but maybe I'm just such a shill for Seth Rogen, but the first teaser trailer where he's in the car and they're surrounding him and Rose Byrne spraying him with the hose, and it just ends with him going, stop. Like, he delivers that so perfectly. And Ike Barinholtz, it looks like they're going to use him a little bit more in this. I think the first Neighbors is really, really good.
I think it's hilarious.
This one seems like a little different because in the first one, they did a nice job of not just making it adults versus these asshole kids. They humanized Teddy and even Dave Franco. Like, you could kind of see both sides of it. Mm-hmm. And but, I mean, the trailers made it seem like they weren't going to. So I'm interested to see what they do with Chloe Moretz and those characters because I think it'll be interesting. I like the angle because they have a daughter. So, like, right. This is their daughter's future. So I like that it's them growing as parents and then seeing what could be the future. So it'll be funny. I don't think there's any doubt about
that.
And
I liked where they were at Teddy at the end of the movie. Yeah. Like, both standing out working. It was at Abercrombie and Fitch, yeah, or whatever. As much as we do love Efron and Nicholas Stoller, for that matter, Shane Black probably rates a little bit higher around Movies on Up Parts and his movie, The Nice Guys, starring Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. I can't think of a movie that's maybe more tailor-made for the two of us at this point. Shane Black being Shane Black. His first directorial role since Iron Man 3 is certainly more in the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang vein than Iron Man 3.
This is one of my most anticipated of the year.
It like, looks amazing.
Obviously, you have Rogue One and Civil War, but like The Nice Guys is up there. Shane Black just gets dialogue, and Russell Crowe and Gosling going back and forth. Like,
Shane Black is like Tarantino if he had a sense of humor.
Yeah, and he could get out of his own way. Black relies on his writing to make his movies. Whereas Tarantino tries
to.
Yeah, he tries to do a little too much, but Shane Black can write a great movie and just shoot it and not get overly fancy and complicated. I think it'll be great. I really do. I believe we're doing Kiss Kiss Bang Bang the week that comes out.
You know what? I wasn't sure if we had decided that we were going to do that, but I was pretty sure that we would end up doing that. So, spoiler alert, in a couple weeks when we do our anniversary episode, there's a top five list of movies that we ought to do, and I was like, oh, I should put Kiss Kiss Bang Bang on there. And then I was like, no, wait, because The Nice Guys is coming out, and I'm certain we will do that week. So
I already wrote it on the calendar.
Well, I mean, I didn't look at the calendar. I don't look at the calendar. I don't even know what episode we're doing now.
I think it's about Dazed and Confused.
We are through the looking glass on this one, folks. May 27th, Alice is through the looking glass. Johnny Depp, Anne Hathaway, Mia Wasikowska return for the sequel. You remember that Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland movie? Well, neither does anybody else. Well, here's a sequel that's not directed by Tim Burton, otherwise known as James Bobbin. Maybe it's worth seeing. It's the last time we will see, or rather hear, Alan Rickman on screen. So happy trails, Hans.
I can't even feign disinterest in this. I never saw the first. I like Bobbin enough, but I had no interest in the first one. I have less interest in this. I don't hate it. I guess I understand its role in life, but I'm okay without it.
I wouldn't see it either way, but if my interest is at a zero, I think if Burton were directing it, it might be like at a one. Because I'd like to see.
Not anymore.
I'd like to see him do this one. You know what I mean? Like, this is the Alice story.
What's
that
the last
I would
Tim
like
Burton movie you liked?
I honestly don't know.
Big Fish, 2001-ish.
Yeah, that might be it. Also that week, featuring some folks in some really weird makeups, Bryan Singer's X-Men Apocalypse, starring J-Law, James McAvoy, Mikey Fassbender, Oscar Isaac, Sophie Turner. Big cast, a huge cast, and a lot of people that we actually like joining this to be underused as they battle a villain that was greatly cast in a movie that would have been immeasurably better had it been directed by Matthew Vaughn.
I don't know where it went wrong. This is probably a me problem. X-Men was good. X-Men 2, phenomenal. Singer leaves. Ratner gives us a turd of X-Men 3. First Class was really, really good.
Yes.
And that cast was filled with dudes that and ladies that I love. But then Vaughn left and Singer came in and it just kind of gave me a bad taste.
He ratnered.
I didn't like Days of Future Past. It's not a bad movie. I don't hate it.
It's not as good as First Class. And it has a storyline that
it should be a million times better. Yes. And I think what bothers me is you watch it and you have this great cast, but like Jennifer Lawrence in Days of Future Past, looks like she's collecting a paycheck. She has really good material. Mystique's storyline in that movie is actually pretty good. It's the flattest I've ever seen her. Fassbender was a badass in the first one. In the second one, he's just kind of there. Nobody's really doing anything. And it's not that like they have material to work with. I don't know. And Apocalypse looks like just a dude in blue face paint. That, like, this one should be awesome. They have Storm with the Mohawk. You know, they're bringing in a young Jean Grey, young Cyclops. Like, this should excite the crap out of
me.
Yeah. It should excite the crap out of me, but it doesn't. And at this point,
I think
like,
it's being burned from Days of Future Past. I was real excited to see that. I'm certainly tempering my excitement now because I didn't
love
the last one.
I wasn't super excited for Days of Future Past. Like, I was soured by the, we have this great cast, now let's mix it with the old one. That's what I didn't like. I think that put a bad taste in my mouth going into that one. And then to see this cast just kind of go through the motions when this is some of the best actors out there right now soured me. And I don't really want to see another Bryan Singer X-Men movie.
Fair enough. We'll say bye-bye to May and hello to June with The Bye-Bye Man in theaters June 3rd, directed by Stacey Title, starring Doug Jones, Doug Smith, and Jacob Tremblay's little sister, Erica. I'm sure she would love to be referred to as such. Doug Jones gets extra creepy again and makes life hell for some college students from the director of the epic horror anthology starring Calvin Brodus as Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror.
This is one I forgot. So I think there's probably 5 horror movies coming out this summer. Ooh. This one they tried to keep under wraps pretty much. They didn't really release a synopsis. It looks like a boogeyman type character that possesses people and makes them do things they don't want to do. It could be decent. It's one of those that it's hard to judge because you can make a great trailer for movies like this. And the trailer was okay. So it's hard to...
I'll be interested to see how good she is. It's kind of unfortunate that Jacob just had that incredible performance in Room. Maybe you recognize the name or you have some goofball like me telling you that that's his little sister. And he was young, is still young. She's a couple years younger than him. So like at this point, I'm expecting like some kind of like Daniel Day-Lewis performance out of this like 6-year-old girl. I feel like I'm kind of just setting her up for failure. Before
I don't
that.
Think this movie's going to have the Daniel Day-Lewis type material.
You don't think so?
No.
One can dream. We got a lot of Game of Thrones people roaming around this summer. Sophie Turner, obviously, in X-Men. Emilia Clarke in Me Before You, Thea Shamrock's movie. Of course, Emilia Clarke, you may know her better as the white chick with dragons. She falls in love with a paralyzed Sam Claflin, also known probably better around these parts as Finnick, in Jojo Moyes' adaptation of the Jojo Moyes novel.
Based on the poster, it's a Nicholas Sparks poster.
It's not a Nicholas Sparks
no,
poster.
No, I assumed it was based on the poster.
It isn't. That is the research that I did for this episode. I will never stop researching. Also that week, pop star Never Stopping, directed by Akiva Schaffer and Jorma Taccone, starring Andy Samberg, Bill Hader, and the Poots. Imogen Poots, it is the, as you might guess from Akiva, Jorma, and Andy's involvement, it is the Lonely Island movie about a pop star trying not to be a one-hit wonder.
I'll see. I love Lonely
Absolutely.
Island. I'm excited.
We're doing Hot Rod that week?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we're doing Hot Rod that week. Not technically a Lonely Island movie, but it's
but
as
starring
close
Andy Samberg.
Akiva directed it, too.
Yeah,
I'm
I think
pretty
so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jorma's a main co-star, so it's as close as you're going to get without a... Nobody... They weren't really the Lonely Island...
At that point.
I mean, they were, but it wasn't a name. But yeah, I'm excited for it. You know there's going to be cameos. You know it's just going to be ridiculousness.
Oh,
it's
wait.
Basically Andy Samberg as a Justin Bieber character.
I feel like he's somewhere between Bieber and Wahlberg because I think his character was in some kind of rap group or something. I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure it's going to be at least worth a couple chuckles for sure. Worth a couple screams or a couple bags of vomit. Dave Green's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, starring Megan Fox, the Green Arrow, Stephen Amell, and a ton of CGI. Also known as Madea Goes to Dimension X, as Tyler Perry joins the bastardized version of these great characters, adding Baxter Stockman, Casey Jones, and a Fred Armisen-voiced Krang to the mix. Rocksteady and Bebop also in this train wreck. And 1990s April, Judith Hogue making an appearance.
The better of the two Aprils. From then, Paige Turco was more attractive.
Yes.
Judith Hogue brought more depth to the character.
I agree, but I'm glad you said that, so you seem like the shallow one. But you know what? I will take this Judith Hogue over Megan Fox today.
I don't even want to start talking about this movie because I'll get so angry.
And you would not like Dave when he's angry.
No, the trailers are
conjuring up some bad feelings for you.
I realize you made a segue there.
Natural
segue. You made a natural segue there, but I'm
it's
going to
be so ham-handed the second time. Damn it!
I'm the target audience for this movie, for Ninja Turtles. Like, I've been a Ninja Turtles fan my whole life. I have kids.
Your kids are the target
that
audience.
That love... I don't think so.
I think so.
Are they?
Yeah.
Because the first one, it's a little grittier, and it's... If they're aiming for my kid... My kids didn't even like it.
Well, it's because it sucked.
Yeah.
And on some things, your kids are discerning.
I guess I'm done.
All right. A sequel to a bad movie, June 3rd. June 10th opens with a sequel to... a movie. James Wan's The Conjuring 2, starring Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson. It is basically the continuing adventures of the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine. I think they've got like a whole case file of quote-unquote real cases, and this is the second.
This, Insidious, and that other one.
Sinister.
Yeah, I don't know the difference. Sinister was
Sinister has a pretty grisly end to it.
That's the kids killing people, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the videos.
Yes.
Okay.
What was the other one?
Insidious is with the Nethers or whatever it was called.
That was the very first one.
Okay, where I like all
yes,
the like the last,
to, like,
20,
last
minutes,
20 minutes.
And I didn't even want to see the
right.
second and the
and
third
then,
or fourth
and then
or
Patrick
whatever.
Wilson from there on out. This must be like the little run of sequels here. Run of deuces. Now You See Me 2, starring Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, Woody Harrelson, Daniel Radcliffe, Lizzie Kaplan, and Dave Franco. Now You See Me Again, though technically I never saw you the first time.
They're already working on Now You See Me 3. I mean, this is one of those that...
Was Dave Franco in the first one?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. I gotta watch it then. I love me some Dave Franco.
It's one of those that was made for so cheap and somehow it hit something and it made a ton of money.
Like magic.
It's one of those that made a lot of money, but I don't know many people that saw it, and I definitely don't know anybody that thought, dude, Now You See Me is dope.
I don't think our next movie was made for a little bit of money. It is Duncan Jones' Warcraft, starring Toby Kebbell, Ruth Negga, Ben Foster, Travis Fimmel, Paula Patton, Clancy Brown, Dominic Cooper. Duncan Jones takes us to a different world, one of Warcraft. Can't tell you why he's doing it or what pictures he may have of Ben Foster, but this is happening, so let it wash over you.
I might be in the minority here.
You are.
I love Duncan Jones. I will give him
I'm
the
cool
benefit
with that.
Of the doubt.
Nope.
I love Kebbell. I love Negga. I love Foster. I love a lot of people in this movie.
Yep.
There's two trailers. One is like from the orc side that makes it seem like, oh, the orcs are the good guys in this movie. And then there's another one from the human side that makes it seem like, oh, the orcs are the bad guys in this movie. So I feel like it's not going to be a movie of good versus evil. I feel like it's going to be this side versus this side, and you're going to get to kind of see both.
You mean like Civil War?
Yeah, but not
good.
The civil part. I don't...
Again,
Duncan Jones,
I have
such a high opinion
know,
of Duncan
but
Jones.
Remove Duncan Jones and remove some of the cast. We are looking.
That's a completely different
just
movie.
Just wait. We are talking about a video game movie. Play the odds. This one has a better shot at succeeding than some of the other ones.
Video
but
game
it
movies
is a video
are on the way
movie.
Up. Assassin's Creed is going to change people's mind.
Angry Birds.
Splinter Cell is going to be awesome. It's all going to kick off with Warcraft being a... it's probably going to bomb, but I'm going to see it.
So not if you have anything to say about it. June 17th, probably at
he
least...
He just lost his father. The least you could do is go see his movie.
A couple months ago.
It takes a while to grieve.
I'm sure it does.
This wouldn't help.
I'll go watch Moon again. Does that help?
If you pay $12 at the multiplex and then just go watch it in your car.
Yeah, I'll bring my laptop and just watch Moon.
I have to get to Warcraft and just... watch movies.
I feel like that's still somehow a felony. I don't know what would happen to me, but I'm sure the CIA would just come cracking down on me if they enforced that. Look at that!
This is what I miss about news episodes. That
Segway game is
that
back.
We talked about either last week or next week in our anniversary episode. The Segway game is strong. I feel like you've taken like 2 years off.
I know.
Of
like
the
my Segway batteries are recharged. I don't know. Does the Segway run on batteries? Or is it like diesel powered?
I don't know.
That scooter thing? Anyway, the segue that we rolled over, June 17th, The Rock, Kevin Hart team up in Ross and Marshall Thurber's Central Intelligence. It is The Rock and Kevin Hart in a movie. It's called Central Intelligence. I mean, do you give a
no.
shit?
No.
Right.
If The Rock and Kevin Hart are in a movie together,
that's all I need
you're
going
to see it or you're not.
Yep. I'm going to see
plot
it.
Plot doesn't matter.
Nope.
It could be a White Chicks remake. You're going to see it or you're not.
Actually, that would
I would
be great.
See the shit out of yes, White Chicks remake starring Rock and Kevin Hart. I would watch The Craft remake starring The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Only if they each played two of the members.
Oh, obviously. Kevin Hart is Fairuza Balk and Robin Tunney.
Do you realize how badass that last fight scene would be if it was The Rock, fighting The Rock?
I thought The Rock fighting Kevin Hart.
Which that could be okay.
But I don't. It's like they...
Central Intelligence.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I mean, I won't see it in the theater.
No, because you're going to be busy that week trying to find Dory.
Yeah.
With everyone else, probably. Finding Dory out that week, directed by Andrew Stanton and Angus McLean, starring Alan, Albert Brooks, and Idris Elba, Stringer Bell. Andrew Stanton takes us back to the ocean as Dory seeks out to find family that she thinks she remembers.
I'm excited for this, but huge year for Idris Elba's voice. This dude should be in every animated movie ever. He was awesome in Zootopia, one of my favorite movies of the year so far. One of the best on-screen villains in Jungle Book. Like, his Shere Khan, amazing.
That's the tiger?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's a tiger. It was CGI tiger. I don't know. Well, not a real tiger, CGI.
Was Scarlet the snake?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's in it for like 5 minutes.
But the snake's a bad thing too, right?
Yeah, for like 5 minutes.
It's been a while since I've seen The Bare Necessities.
See, I'd never seen it, so I went in blind.
All right.
I will talk about this on the halftime show because, spoiler alert, it's going to be high up there. But yeah, Idris Elba, I'm excited for him and Dory. I'm excited for Dory. Nemo is my second daughter Talia's favorite movie, so we're all pretty stoked about this. And I love Ellen. I've loved Ellen since her sitcom in the 90s, so I'm a big Ellen fan.
June 24th. Free State of Jones, directed by Gary Ross, starring Oscar winner Matthew McConaughey and Golden Globe winner Kerry Russell. Oscar winner Matthew McConaughey leads a group of rebels trying to steal the Death Star plans from the Confederacy. Or something, I don't know. Rebels right, fighting rebels.
All right. Like, it's just weird. Like, I like this shift in Matthew McConaughey's summer movie that's like an awards bait movie.
It's not Fool's Gold anymore.
Yeah, it's.
I think that was one of them, right?
Fool's Gold, How to Lose a Dude in 10 Days.
Yeah. Yikes.
Sahara.
Now he's some kind of...
Jones.
Yeah.
His own free state.
June 24th, that's right about when we would normally be expecting some blockbusters, like that 4th of July weekend, Independence Day weekend. You'd think that'd be a great time for Roland Emmerich's Independence Day, but it actually comes out like a week or so before June 24th. Resurgence comes out, starring Jeff Goldblum, Bill Pullman, Maika Monroe, Vivica A. Fox, Liam Hemsworth, and not Will Smith, as we discussed last week. The aliens are welcomed back to Earth by a ton of familiar faces, but not the Fresh Prince.
Independence Day is one of those movies I think is okay. I don't love it. Like, if it's on and there's nothing else on, I'll put it on. It's okay. I'm excited for this movie, and I don't know why. I'm really excited for this.
I'm not going to try and explain it.
I can't.
I think Independence Day, for what it is,
I feel like I'm getting Godzilla'd.
Perhaps, but even Godzilla. Like,
stupid Roland Emmerich.
I think
best trailer maker in the world.
Maybe not the best director. But I think that these movies are great. This is what a summer blockbuster we think. We're conditioned to, of course, Independence Day is a summer movie. Lots of shit blows up. It's a great movie to just kind of relax, chill, have fun, adrenaline. And to me, that's a summer movie in a nutshell.
And Maika Monroe.
I mean, I could deal with her in all seasons, but I could also deal with Blake Lively in all seasons. She shows up that week in The Shallows, directed by Jamie Collette Serra, starring Blake Lively and a shark. And it is Blake Lively versus a shark.
That's the movie.
And that's pretty much all the cast. I'm not being facetious when I say her and a shark.
No, she's pretty much trapped on a rock.
A lonely island.
Like 200 yards away from shore, but there's this shark.
At least one shark.
Seems like an American version of this movie called The Reef from Australia a few years ago that was phenomenal shark movie. It's going to be more open water than Shark Night 3D, which I'll take open water over Shark Night 3D. I like a good shark movie. Obviously, I talk about Deep Blue Sea all the time,
right?
So it's no secret that I love a well-made shark movie. I'll see it. It's not one that I'm going to go see in a theater. Like, I feel like it'll be better in the intimacy of my own quiet, small island of a living room. But I'll see it eventually.
I think Summer loves a good shark movie. If Jaws is any indication, that movie made a couple shekels back in the 70s. Flip the calendar to July, which starts a pretty big month with The BFG, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring one of Dave's favorites, Rebecca Hall, Mark Lance, Bill Hader, and Jermaine Clement. Steven Spielberg brings the beloved big fucking giant from the pages of a children's book to the big fucking screen.
This is one that I should probably take the kids to see, but I won't. I never read the book.
There's plenty of time still.
It looks magical. Like, there was a long trailer before the Jungle Book. It looks like an epic magical movie, but it's not my kind of epic magical.
There's not enough wizards.
No, magic it's not wands. Stardust or Harry Potter.
Fair enough.
Although there is a cool scene at the end with a bunch of giants looking over the other giant. That's kind of cool, but not enough for me to go see it. It's no Bazooka versus Angels that makes me want to see the movie.
We ended up stumbling across that movie on the Sci-Fi Channel maybe a couple months ago.
Legion?
Yeah. And so I stop, and I'm sitting there like waiting for Sarah to ask me why the fuck we're watching this movie, and more importantly, what the fuck we are watching.
And then she sees Bazooka versus Angels.
No, we missed the Bazooka versus Angels. But then when you see the angel wings appear, she's like, is this that fucking angel movie? And I was like, this is that fucking angel movie.
Where the world ends at the end of the movie, essentially.
Like, kind of.
The end of that movie is so weird because it has the feel of this like happy ending. Like, oh, they survived and they're together and they're safe. But the fucking world is falling apart.
Yeah.
That movie's so awesome.
Legion and Legion 2, neither of them will be in theaters on July 1st, but David Yates' The Legend of Tarzan will be, starring Alexander Skarsgård, Margot Robbie, Sammy Jackson, and Christoph Waltz. Alexander Skarsgård swings to the top of the contender list for this year's Worthless Worthington Uppy in yet another retelling of a tale people haven't cared about in decades, or as I like to call it, a movie where both you and your lady can go see and neither of you has to feel guilty for being aroused. Because Alexander Skarsgård is just that hot.
I don't even feel like this. I'm coughing a lot. My throat hurts. I don't feel like this movie warrants any words.
All right. We'll save it up because I know that you're going to have a lot to say about James DeMonaco's The Purge Election Year, starring Crossbones, Frank Grillo, and Elizabeth Mitchell. The annual Purge is still happening, but not for long if Elizabeth Mitchell is elected president in the third installment of Jimmy's epic Purge trilogy.
If you'd have asked me when the first Purge came out, if I would care at all about a Purge 3, I would have said there's no way. But then I saw the Purge 2, which we're actually going to do an episode of it on that week.
On that week.
Spoiler alert.
I feel like we spoiled most of the summer already.
At least the ones that are movies, because those are the ones we remember that we're doing.
Oh, yes. That makes perfect sense.
But it's a list that we look up the night before the episode. Like, oh, crap. When The Purge came out, I said, like, oh, it's a decent idea that you can make a franchise of that's just a different movie each year, like a different scenario involving The Purge. And the second one I thought was going to be that, because I even said when the first one came out, like, you could have somebody's car break down and they have to get home during The Purge. The second one's kind of like that. That's part of the story, but there's a lot more to it. And it actually builds this world. And I like that it's taken a political turn. And it's kind of looking at the politics of that world. And you have Frank Grillo from Purge 2 now guarding Senator Elizabeth Mitchell, who is running for president and wants to end the Purge. So based on what happened in the second one, I'm interested in the third. And that's more than I thought I would ever say about a Purge movie.
It's kind of interesting in that they talk about life imitating art. The senator is trying to end the Purge, whereas if we elect Trump, then there will be a Purge probably the next year. So
this is weird because Purge 2, it's not a great movie, but I'm interested in the story for a movie like that. Like, especially the first one's a bad, poorly done home invasion movie. The second one's a completely different movie. And it builds this mythology that the first one was lacking, and I'm interested in that mythology more than I am the actual movie. So I'll see it just to see where the story progresses to, but I mean, the second one's a watchable movie, but...
A movie that you will certainly see. July 8th's Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, directed by Jake Siminski, starring Anna Kendrick and some other people. I've been led to believe it's Zac Efron, Adam Devine, and Aubrey Plaza. Two brothers place an online ad to land dates to a wedding and end up with Anna Kendrick and Aubrey Plaza instead of guys pretending that they're women, which is what happened to Ryan and Dave when we did the same thing.
And one of them was Mike Mann. I should have saw it from a mile away.
Well, that hair coming but, to you under the Cavs ball cap. fooled me.
They just released a trailer for this like a couple days before we recorded this episode. Does not look good for that cast. Like, I love all of those people. I want to see Adam Devine in bigger roles and bigger comedies. This is his chance. And like, I like Efron in comedies. I'll see it. I hope there's more to it than the trailer leads you to believe. Because basically, it's just their party dudes. Their sister wants them to take dates to her wedding in Hawaii. So they put an ad online. Plaza and Kendrick are these party whores that want a free trip to Hawaii. So they pretend to be nice girls, win the dates, and then just kind of let loose in Hawaii. The premise is different, but it just looks bad. But I'll see it.
Didn't the,
Anna Kendrick in Hawaii...
I'll have my difficulties taking my eyes off of Hawaii. Didn't they do a skit on the video awards that kind of bombed or something?
Oh, I...
Movie awards or something?
Maybe.
I don't know. They did something somewhere that didn't go over so well. But it's not going to scare us away from seeing it. We'll both watch it at some point. One of us in this room, actually maybe even both of us, will end up watching Chris Renaud's...
One of
Yaro
us is really
Cheney's
excited for it.
The Secret Life of Pets, which if you've watched any basketball recently, you're probably pretty familiar with. Lake Bell, Jenny Slate, Ellie Kemper, Louis C.K., Kevin Hart. An adorable look at what your pets do when you're not at home. I don't need a movie about this. I know what our dog does. She ruins the furniture. I don't need to see that for an hour and a half.
I think it looks good. Like, I think this looks like one of those legit movies that's made for kids, but that's damn enjoyable for adults. And a lot of that's, I trust Louis C.K. I don't think he would just put himself in a kid's movie for the sake of being in a kid's movie. It's from the studio that made Despicable Me. Like, the trailers are decent for it. The trailers are actually pretty funny. So I'm pretty stoked for it.
There may be some divisiveness on our next movie as well. July 15th, Paul Feig's Ghostbusters, starring Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones, and Chris Hemsworth. The summer continues to bastardize my youth, at least, as this time it's Paul Feig's take on an all-time favorite of both of ours, the original Ghostbusters. Pre-trailer, I was very excited for this. Post-trailer, I'm the opposite of very excited. I think somehow you've still managed to hang on to some level of optimism.
Did you watch the international trailer?
I don't think so.
The international trailer is a lot better. It shows.
Is this like what you're telling me about Victor Frankenstein?
The international trailer for Victor Frankenstein looked like a really good movie. Enough that I actually watched Victor Frankenstein a couple weeks ago, where I watched the first like 40 minutes and was just over it. Like, it was so bad.
So you're about to make the same argument that the international trailer for Ghostbusters
no.
makes it look like...
No,
okay, okay.
Because Victor Frankenstein was not directed by Paul Feig, who... Between Bridesmaids, The Heat, and Spy, I've loved all of those movies progressively more. Spy was one of my favorite movies last year.
It was really
and
good,
it's
sure.
really, really good. I don't think his movies trailer well. He's the anti-Roland Emmerich.
It's a possibility.
Because there's so much more to his movies than Melissa McCarthy fat jokes or Melissa McCarthy falling down. But that's what gets audiences into the seats. Because if you look at The Heat, if you look at Spy, even Bridesmaids, there were some funny jokes in the trailers for those. The best jokes weren't in the trailers. So you went in expecting a funny movie, and you got a movie that was 1,000 times funnier. So I trust him enough, and I trust this cast. I trust Wiig, and I trust McCarthy, because she's doing a lot of... I still have high hopes. It wasn't a great trailer. Whoever made that trailer should never make another trailer again. It was such a poorly made trailer, not just because of the material, but it doesn't need tied to the first one. People know Ghostbusters. Now you're just confusing people. Is this a continuation? It's a complete reboot. And I understand why. When ghosts start happening, they want it to be the first time that world has seen ghosts. Whereas if they'd have seen them like 30 years ago, it's like, oh, it's ghosts again. So I get why you're completely rebooting it, but to tie in the old ones and show the firehouse, and I don't understand.
And bring back quite a few of the actors from the
For
original.
Cameos. Yes. I get the cameos. But like to tie the four scientists 30 years ago in the trailer to show the firehouse, to show the original logo, like, didn't make sense to me. And then the jokes they chose to put in it. I thought the Kate McKinnon in the wig and hat, like, yeah, it's a Scooby-Doo joke, but It was funny enough. The ghost throwing up on her, like, that's a different take on the sliming. I trust Paul Feig. I think he's doing such good work that, much like I'll go to Warcraft because of how much I trust Duncan Jones.
You're going to be pissed off at a lot of directors you like by the end of the
summer. I might. I think people are going to hate Ghostbusters for the sake of hating it. I think people are going to hate it, not go see it. I think people that go see it are going to get a much better movie than they expect. I honestly think this will be not just a fun, like, I think it'll be a really good movie.
Best case scenario for me, this movie is Transformers, the first one, which I thought was going to be an abomination.
And it's watchable. It's a fun mess.
It's watchable. Yes. That's the best case scenario I see for this one. In addition to the Ghostbusters reboot on July 15th, July 15th also marks the beginning of the summer of Legs, John Leguizamo. He appears in...
Month of Legs.
I'm going to call it the Summer of Legs because I just think it sounds better. He appears in Brad Furman's The Infiltrator, starring the aforementioned Johnny Legs, Bryan Cranston, Diane Kruger, and Amy Ryan. The dude stumbles his way into a money laundering plot run by Pablo Escobar. Furman has had an up and down couple of years, following up The Lincoln Lawyer with that awful Ben Affleck jam, Runner Runner.
They just released a trailer for this a week or so ago. I like Cranston, but this one isn't doing it for me.
He might not select great movie projects.
I mean, he got an Oscar. He's right off of an Oscar now.
Trumbo, right. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, Godzilla.
Was he in Total Recall?
Bad. I don't recall. That takes us to July 22nd. Another giant animated sequel. This time, Ice Age Collision Course, directed by Mike Thurminer and Galen T. Chu, starring Ray Romano, Dennis Leary, and that guy again. There's John Leguizamo. This world really doesn't need back-to-back weeks with Johnny Legs movies or another Ice Age movie for that matter, yet here we are. Seemingly, this franchise has lasted about as long as the Ice Age.
I have nothing to say about these movies. I hate these
movies. They keep making
money,
apparently. Or, I don't know, again, Johnny Legs has got pictures of somebody somewhere. This may have been, I feel like this is maybe one of the horror movies that you were kind of
pointing
to.
There's two more. There's this and another one later in the summer that I'm pretty stoked on.
This one sounds cool. David F. Sandberg's Lights Out, starring Maria Bello and Teresa Palmer. Sandberg gets his chance to make a feature out of his 2013 short film of the same name about a creature that only appears when it's dark, like most good monsters.
It worries me because the short, it's only 3-4 minutes long, really good. Like, it's really creepy. It's really tense. The trailer is really creepy. It's really tense. I don't know how you carry that over 90 minutes, but I'm interested to see how he does it.
Sometimes I look at these shorts as like a sizzle reel. You know what I mean? Like,
no, exactly. Yeah.
I have this idea that is certainly much more comprehensive than I am able to film right now.
And
so
I get
let
that.
Me, you know what I mean? It's a trailer, I guess.
I mean, it's another one with kids talking to creepy people, essentially. Like, it has potential to be really good. It's a pretty low-budget horror movie. Those have done well in the summer. Like,
certainly.
You've had the past few years where...
Really, they've done well for the first two quarters of any given year.
Yeah.
There's that dumping ground in February and March where they always tend to do pretty well.
But then in the past couple summers, you've had one dropped like right in the middle of summer that usually does pretty decent. So that's a pretty prime slot for him.
Also, I guess kind of a prime slot. I actually sort of, in the midst of some of the Star Wars stuff, the Marvel stuff.
Forgot about this.
Yeah. Star Trek Beyond, Justin Lin's, I guess, third.
Well,
he
follows up
J.J.
Abrams.
Yeah, he follows J.J., who's beamed himself to another franchise. Chris Pine, Simon Pegg, Idris Elba, all back for this one. Like we mentioned, Justin Lin comes from directing quite a few of the Fast and Furious movies, so the guy knows how to do an action movie. More importantly for Dave, can Idris Elba top Benedict Cumberbatch when it comes to the greatest villain performance in perhaps not just Star Trek movies, but in moviedom as a whole? Still ain't your nerdy uncle's Star Trek. I feel like this one is more like your nerdy uncle's Star Trek, from what I understand of it.
I mean, the first trailer is just Sabotage by the Beastie Boys playing with lots of action, which upset a lot of Star Trek fans, but made me excited. So, I mean, I'm a fan of the franchise. I hate the original. So,
to me, this seems like a plot lifted from the original ones, where they
I know nothing about the plot.
They get stranded. The ship has some sabotage done to it or something, and Captain Kirk's gotta recruit all his people from this planet. I don't know. It just sounds like something I would absolutely see Shatner doing.
Yeah. I like the idea of Elba as a villain. Simon Pegg wrote this one, which I'm interested in. So I think it'll be more than just an action movie, but I thought that about The Wrath of Khan too, or whatever the Cumberbatch one.
Into Darkness.
Yes.
How about that?
Cumberbatch.
Seabatch. That takes us to July 29th. John Lucas and Scott Moore's Bad Moms, starring Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, Christina Applegate, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Kesha. Some moms are tired of doing mom things and go head-to-head with some moms who aren't tired of doing some mom things. And I really can't tell who's who.
I don't know. I haven't seen a trailer for this yet. I like Kristen Bell.
Sure do.
Yeah.
The rest of the cast, I like Mila Kunis. She's good in
comedy
sometimes.
And Christina Applegate.
Yeah, don't really care for Jada Pinkett Smith much.
Fish Mooney.
Yeah. Also that week is Paul Greengrass's Jason Bourne, starring Matt Damon, Julia Stiles, and Alicia Vikander. Matt Damon and Greengrass got their shorts in a bunch, apparently, because Tony Gilroy and Jeremy Renner made a better Bourne without Bourne. Thus, the Bourne saga continues, this time without Jeremy Renner, though Justin Lin does have an upcoming Bourne sequel with Jeremy Renner. So I'm assuming that this is just kind of reintroducing Jason Bourne and Matt Damon back into the franchise. Hey, guys, remember me? I was only gone
so
for
that
one.
So they can go yes. Aaron Cross and Matt Damon at some point, or Jason Bourne.
Yes.
I think that's Renner's character, isn't it? Aaron
I
Cross?
I don't know.
Might have just made that up.
Was that Tyler Perry?
Yeah.
Alex Cross, right?
Oh, yeah, Alex Cross. Yeah. I didn't mind the last two Bourne movies despite Paul Greengrass, and even just the trailer for this.
I like the second one. The third one I don't care for much at all.
Even just the trailer for this is very Greengrassian, which I hate.
Greengrass
is the director.
It's just a shame that Jason Bourne could not have been directed by the Russo brothers, as
yes,
someone once
exactly.
said.
Exactly. I hope the Bourne-Cross crossover is Russo brothers. Just throw them in Infinity War. That's where they meet up.
Right. Yeah. Somehow Thanos summons Jason Bourne and whatever.
Hawkeye has been undercover this whole time.
Whatever Hawkeye's character is. Yeah. He wakes up. He's like, I know who I am. Not Clint Barton. That brings us to August. August 5th. The Founder, directed by John Lee Hancock, starring Michael Keaton, Linda Cardellini, and Patrick Wilson. The movie that you've all been waiting hundreds of years for. I don't know if McDonald's has been around that long, but this is the movie about the guy that started McDonald's, Ray Kroc. And to me, this just reeks of, like, Jobs.
Yeah, because the guy was an asshole.
Yeah.
And he stole McDonald's.
Right. Yes.
It's actually
great casting for the asshole.
He's fantastic.
In a movie nobody's going to give a shit about.
They just released a trailer for it. It looks really, really good. Offerman's in it. It looks really good.
I still don't give a shit. The Fassbender Jobs movie, like, you know.
See, Michael Keaton just be an asshole, like a life-ruining asshole. Sign me up.
That continues the Nine Lives of Michael Keaton. Also that week, Barry Sonnenfeld's Nine Lives, starring Kevin Spacey, Jennifer Garner, and Chris Walken. Kevin Spacey becomes a cat in a movie that Adam Sandler, Kevin James, or Rob Schneider, or really anyone else associated with Happy Madison, were apparently too busy to do.
This looks like a fake movie. Like, this looks like if Kevin Spacey starred in a movie about a rundown movie star and they play a trailer for some of his movies, this is one of those movies. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't really know why he... I can't
it
imagine.
Looks like a Disney made-for-TV movie. I feel like he should be starring opposite Zendaya and Jesse Ryan.
I'm not sure who those
she
people
was
are.
She was on the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody as the girlfriend, and then she went to the island with them, and then she spun off into her own show where she was a nanny. I think her name was Jesse Ryan. Her show was Jesse. Zendaya's in the new Spider-Man, so she probably wasn't the best example.
Nickelodeon On Up Corner with Dave. A movie
Jesse's
that's
actually a Disney show, and Zendaya came from Shake It Up, which is a Disney show.
I don't know. All right. Whatever Disney is. This one has certainly gone off the rails with a bunch of shit that I know nothing about, preceding a movie that I know a little bit more about, and that is David Ayer's Suicide Squad, starring Margot Robbie, Will Smith, and Jared Leto. Villain's gonna villain. Hopefully better than the DC heroes heroed earlier this year.
I like David Ayer.
Yeah.
I really do. the trailers haven't really done anything for me. I like the story. I love the Suicide Squad story.
I want to see Jared Leto's Joker much more than I wanted to see Affleck's Batman, which wasn't horrible. And, well, I mean, I've already seen Henry Cavill's Superman, and I know that that is terrible. It never gets any better. But I like watching Margot Robbie.
Yeah, and the trailer seems like she's... It's going to be weird to say this about a Harley Quinn character, but she seems too over the top. I don't know, like... When you watch a trailer, and the biggest thing I take from it is like, man, Jai Courtney looks good in that. I don't really have high hopes for it. Like if that's my takeaway, is like...
I feel like that's your takeaway from most Jai Courtney ventures.
He's still aiming for that Worthless Worthington, and I refuse to give it to him. I don't hate Jai Courtney.
No, I know you don't.
I think he'll be really good in Suicide Squad.
Perhaps. Perhaps Rebecca Ferguson will be good in... Florence Foster Jenkins, directed by Stephen Frears. Stephen Frears directs Meryl Streep wanting to be an opera singer despite being a terrible singer, despite actually being a pretty good singer.
I won't see this, no. But I like this coming from Rebecca. Like, I like Rebecca Ferguson in this because she kind of broke out with MI5 or whatever the last one was. Like, maybe Captain Marvel. Like, she came out as like, people are like, oh, I want to put her in action movies. And she follows, like, she's in this, which is a high-profile one, so I like that she's not going to let herself get pigeonholed
right,
into...
Right, just do action.
Yeah.
Also,
that's really all I could say about
also that. Out that week, Bryce Dallas Howard getting pigeonholed into another movie about a reptile, a CGI reptile, this time in David Lowery's Pete's Dragon, also starring Oaks Feigley, Robert Redford, and Carl Urban. Basically, just David Lowery's updated story about an orphan boy and his dragon.
I remember talking about this when we were doing news episodes back years and years ago because David Lowery had Casey Affleck Western movie.
The Assassination.
No. After that, it wasn't really a Western. I'm going to look that up because it's killing me now. But David Lowery a few years ago had that run where he directed Ain't Them Body Saints. He edited Upstream Color. So he kind of was a weird choice to do a children's movie, but it looks pretty decent. It looks pretty cool. I mean, maybe I'm just riding high off Jungle Book, where it was like a good retelling of a children's classic with a little grit and dirtiness to it. I mean, Jungle Book is going to be hard to top, but I'll take my kids to see Pete's Dragon, which is weird because watching Ain't Them Body Saints, I never thought take my kids to see the follow-up to this.
This guy's follow-up, yeah. In addition to being the summer of legs, it's sort of also the summer of finding out what happens to things that don't talk when human beings aren't around. Apparently, they do talk, and we find that out in Greg Tiernan and Conrad Vernon's Sausage Party, starring Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, James Franco, and all their buddies. Grocery store foods realize what happens when they finally leave the store in this animated film that is not a film for children, that is for adults. Apparently, there's a lot of hijinks that go on with sausage and pets when we're not around.
I cannot wait for this movie. I'm so on board with this. I love everything Seth Rogen does. He got all his friends along to do this.
I'm just surprised it's taken him this long to get together with James Franco and do a movie called Sausage Party.
The first trailer is insane. They showed a working copy at South by Southwest that was apparently just ridiculous. I mean, they go pretty far, the interview and This Is the End. They push pretty far in live action. You give them unlimited reign in animation, I don't even know where their brains will go, but I am damn excited to see.
I bet there'll be some dicks.
Oh, yeah.
Sausage dicks.
And some violence.
Sausage dicks and violence. That's a great breakfast. Also out that week, Nick Matthews' Spectral, starring Emily Mortimer, Bruce Greenwood, and James Badge Dale. I don't think this is one of the ones you were looking at. As far as horror goes, it is Special Ops versus the Supernatural.
I don't know much about this one.
No, other than Special Ops versus the Supernatural.
The Rock, I think, is attached to... There's that SEAL Team 666. That sounds cool. This doesn't sound as cool.
Yeah, I will. In fairness, I mean, if you said SEAL Team 666, I'd be like, nah, kind of dumb. Starring The Rock. Oh, wait, what'd you say?
Starring The Rock and Kevin Hart? Yes.
Yes. Yes, please. August 19th brings us Timur Bekmambetov's Ben-Hur, starring The Rock and Kevin Hart, or Jack Houston and Toby Kebbell. Chariots, why are we doing this now? Basically, just look at the first half of our Tarzan description, minus the part about Alex Skarsgård, and that's what you get. A story that, I guess, in some ways transcends time, but seems very odd for a reboot now, a retelling.
I like Kebbell, but man, dude, no. Timur Bekmambetov had so much promise.
I like the Night Watch. That was cool.
Yeah. This first movie.
Yeah.
Day Watch, not as good.
No.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
No.
Ben-Hur remake. And then what? Wanted?
Yeah, he's produced a lot of stuff, though, and some decent things. But
he has a good personality.
Well, his directorial list is not exactly impressive, but you know, the man's produced some things that were okay. Also out that week, Travis Knight's Kubo and the Two Strings. That's Charlize Theron, Rooney Mara, Academy Award winner Matthew McConaughey, and Ralph Fiennes. Gods, monsters, spirits, and samurais all coming together in the latest animation release from Lakia Animation of Box Trolls, Paranorman, and Coraline fame.
Paranorman and Coraline were so good. Box Trolls, I thought, was a letdown. I thought that was a disappointment. This looks
a strong lineup, though, for those three.
Because it wasn't terrible. It's just following up. It was the weaker of the three, and it was the most recent.
In a vacuum, it would be probably pretty good.
This looks cool. This looks really, really cool. I'm excited for this one.
Also that week, Britt Robertson, Gary Oldman, Asia Butterfield, and Carla Gugino in The Space Between Us, written and directed by Peter Chesholm. Dude is raised on Mars, comes home to look for his family. Actually sounds kind of cool to me. Maybe I'm just kind of still basking in The Martian. Like, oh, cool, another movie about a guy that was on Mars for a long time. I don't think this is going to be quite the same tone as that.
No.
And I don't love Asia Butterfield. He's ruined a lot of things for me. I know. He ruined one of the three books I've ever read.
See, I like Britt Robertson. I was hoping Tomorrowland was like her break as a big movie star. Not so much. So any chances of her on the big screen?
If Asia Butterfield has anything to say about it. Also out that week, Todd Phillips' War Dogs, starring Jonah Hill and Miles Teller. Hill and Teller run guns in the Middle East for the government from the guy that directed the Hangover trilogy. So we've got a Todd Phillips movie and a Paul Feig movie both this summer.
I mean, I love Jonah Hill, so I'll see anything with Jonah Hill. I'm not a biggest Miles Teller fan.
This looks like throwback Jonah Hill.
It does look like throwback Jonah Hill, and it looks like a departure for Todd Phillips, because he did, you know, he did the Hangovers, he did Old School, he did Due Date. He did all these that are in the same vein.
Right.
This still looks funny, but it's not that kind of funny.
Right, it's not a slapstick, haha.
It looks great, and I like Jonah Hill. It looks like he has good chemistry with Miles Teller, and it's based on based on an insane true story. Like, it's based on this ridiculous... The plot sounds like some dumb, made-up stuff, but then you realize, like,
you knew it was a
movie. 220-something-year-olds have a $400 million contract with the government? Yeah, right. Based on a true story.
To go sell guns to what I think ended up being the Taliban later.
I'm excited.
Don't quote me on that. I don't really know news or anything. Coming down the home stretch here, the last week we're going to talk about is August 26th. And it starts with Fede Alvarez's Don't Breathe. He wrote and directed Jane Levy, Dylan Minnette, and Stephen Lang. It's his follow-up to the Evil Dead remake, which seems like it was a long, long time ago. He shows a few teens that robbing an old rich blind dude isn't as easy as it sounds. I liked the Evil Dead remake for what it was.
It was good for what it was.
I think if it wasn't called Evil Dead, I'd have liked it more.
Exactly. If it wasn't called and marketed as an Evil Dead remake, because it was a competent horror movie.
Yes.
There were great visuals, and I like Jane Levy. I want Jane Levy as a movie star, so this is another shot. I like Dylan Minnette a lot. I think Dylan Minnette's one of the cooler young actors we have out there right now, and there's a lot of good ones right now, but this is one of them that I was thinking of. Bye Bye Man, the dark one, and this one, I think, are three horror movies that have potential to be really, really cool. The way people latched onto It Follows last year, I feel like one of these could get that.
Certainly.
Maybe, like, I feel like, because people are love
Although It Follows didn't really, that didn't have a wide release, did it?
No, but it, it got, I mean, it got a cult following.
Like, yes, it did. But I mean, these, I think, are positioned better.
And people want to fall in love with a horror movie.
Right.
It just, the ones that get wide release are so cookie cutter that you can't. I feel like maybe one of these three will hit. Maybe more than one of them.
And maybe next year we'll have six instead of three.
I think this is the one I'm most excited about, but it's also the one I've seen the least of. Like, I've seen a trailer for Bye Bye Man and the dark one that I can't remember the name. Afraid of the Dark? Lights Out.
Lights Out.
Yeah. But just based on Fede Everett, Manette, and Levy, like, and Lang, the premise seems kind of cool. It's got that, it's that old school movie where they break in and they rob darkness, or with the one that they try to rob the blind lady. Whatever. It has that kind of feel to it, but more horror-y.
Scary?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Significantly more horror movies this year, significantly less boxing movies this year, but we finally do get our first one in that week. Jonathan Jackie Wetz's Hands of Stone, starring Bobby De Niro, Edgar Ramirez, and Usher. Bobby D steps on the other side of the ropes to train Roberto Duran in this biopic. It's a boxing movie. It's a biopic. I'll love it.
It's got Usher as Sugar Ray Leonard.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I always love these stories, and
I was never a big Duran fan. Like, I was never a big Roberto Duran fan. I watched a lot of old boxing. I was never a big, I like Sugar Ray Leonard.
So you're saying no moss to this?
Maybe. I do kind of want to see Usher as Sugar Ray Leonard, just see how he does it. Like, see if he could pull it off. This is one of those, I don't know. I'll have to wait till I see something. I want to know what the boxing's like in it.
Yeah.
Like,
if it's more Creed and...
Oh, Creed nailed the boxing. Yeah. Like, Creed outdid the Rocky movies for the, as far as the boxing.
Oh, right. I just mean, like, if it's closer to that than the Gyllenhaal Jam.
Southpaw, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah, their legs would be tired 20 seconds into that.
Yeah,
round.
That's two dudes doing a big rail and then getting in there, one rail apiece, in fairness. They're not sharing going at that speed. And our final movie of the summer is... And not save the best for last, not to be outdone.
What's the opposite of that?
All that stuff.
Save the Jason Statham sequel for last.
I love the Statham, though.
I do, too. And I like the first one.
I was going to say, like, if we're really talking about...
I'm so shitty for no reason.
Right. The Mechanic Resurrection, Dennis Gansel's sequel to the Jason Statham remake from about the Charles Bronson movie that you actually forgot was a Charles Bronson movie, starring Statham. Jessica Alba, Tommy Lee Jones, Michelle Yeoh. No Ben Foster this time.
Spoiler alert.
Right?
Not surprising.
No.
The premise of The Mechanic is cool. He's a hitman that his murders are supposed to look like accidents. The first one did a really cool job at the beginning of setting that. Not the Bronson one, the Statham one. It set up with the pool and everything. I thought that was cool. But then it just turns into an action movie pretty much, which was disappointing. It wasn't terrible. I like Statham a lot. We don't need this.
No, I can do without it, for sure.
I'll see it like when it comes to Netflix, probably. I'm not going to rush out.
I'll watch like the USA back-to-back premiere of The Mechanic and The Mechanic Resurrection.
Followed by Death Race 20,000.
Followed by whatever else is on USA. And that brings us through the end of August. Coming up in a couple months, we'll do our fall-winter preview, which will probably pick up sometime. I feel like it picks up in September and takes you through the rest of the year. It's like we don't really bother so much with
January
what comes out.
January through May, who cares?
Yeah, we take about a 4 months off, and then we do a pretty good job of taking you through the rest of the year. I do think there's a lot of movies throughout the summer that sound really cool. I think I'm a bit tunnel visioned. It's hard for me to get past like Civil War. I'm so amped for that. I do want to see the Shane Black movie. I think that's going to be really, really good. The horror movies sound cool. But honestly, I almost am to the point now where like I like so much of what Marvel's doing. I need to see Captain America. And I like so much of what basically Disney is doing, either with Marvel or with Star Wars. Like I can't wait to see Rogue One.
Yeah.
Anything else I
in
see
in between is just kind of filler.
Which is totally unfair because I'm going to love the Shane Black movie. There's probably going to be a couple movies this summer that I really, really like. But.
And that's the thing. This summer's weird. There's quite a few movies I'll see.
Yeah.
outside of Civil War, like none that I'm like amped about.
And that's
like,
the first one.
Yeah, like there's none that I'm like, oh, I'm seeing that opening day. I mean, Ghostbusters I'll see opening weekend, but other than that, like there's no event movies for me.
Independence Day?
I got Godzilla'd. I'm not going to fall for it
again. Dory?
Oh, Dory I'll see opening weekend. The kids movies probably.
Yeah.
But not on account of me. Like Secret Life of Pets and Dory and Angry Birds I'll probably see opening weekend, but or at least through that week. But if we were to do box office bash, it'd be a weird year because there's not your giant tent poles, I don't feel like.
I mean, I think you'd do well with Dory. But, obviously, if Civil War were eligible, I think you'd do.
Yeah, I mean, Civil War, Dory,
well
those
there.
Are big-time money
Independence
makers.
Independence Day is going to make a lot of money.
Like, there's a couple that I could think of. But, like, what was it? Last year, the year before, we had, like, five movies hit $250 million domestically. Like, it doesn't feel like
I wouldn't be
that
surprised
kind of summer.
If we're talking 250, I wouldn't be surprised if Suicide Squad got there. At least the first weekend for Dawn of Justice was really, really good. Word got out that it sucked, and it dropped off pretty good from there. But they still made a boatload the first weekend. I could see Suicide Squad maybe not making that much, but doing very well in that, you know, it's got as many Batman and Superman fans as there are. You have, I feel like, just as many Joker fans or Harley Quinn fans.
Will Smith fans.
Or Will Smith fans. The ones that are disenfranchised and have their $12 that they're not going to give Roland Emmerich for Independence Day. They're going to save it for Suicide Squad.
I mean, I it just feels weird. I think there's movies that'll do well, but I don't know that there are many that are just going to blow up natural
like
landmarks in Independence Day Resurrection.
Yeah. Well, we're misreading things if you're super, super pumped about the Star
Central
Trek movie or Central Intelligence. If you are in fact The Rock or Kevin Hart, you can get at us on the Twitter at Movies On Up, our Facebook page facebook.com/Movies On Up. We'd love to be Facebook friends with The Rock, or you can email us moviesonup@gmail.com. let us know your thoughts on the summer, what you are excited about and what you may not be as excited about. Next week we are excited about, because Civil War does kick off the summer, we are going to give you our thoughts on the previous Captain America movie, The Winter Soldier, as that kind of sets into motion some of the events, at least, of Civil War, and it's the Russo brothers.
And the week after is our four-year anniversary show, right?
Yeah.
Or was
yeah.
that last week?
No, that's the week after Captain America.
That's a solid 3 weeks, and I'm sure whatever was last week was good, too.
I think that was Charlize Theron, yeah.
Oh, that was probably awesome.
This was one
Did
of our better
her mom
ones.
Killed her father?
I heard that somewhere from a very reputable source, as a matter of fact, a news-gathering organization, I think.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week. It's going to be an awesome summer. We have most of it planned out.
As we've already told you.
Yeah, we told you. There's going to be some cool movies that we'll do movie episodes of and some off-the-wall lists that I'm sure we'll come up with. But thanks for chilling with us and have an awesome summer. Hopefully we are a part of it. But until next week.
Keep it up.